If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Welcome to Houston Strange. My name is Adam, and I will be your host.
At this moment, a box flies off a shelf and lands directly in front of my feet.
Something of substantial weight and size ran into the house.
It's much easier to get jewelry off of a dead body part than a whole dead body.
And there is a man, and he was just green. He looked like he had moss on him. He had these yellowish eyes, and they look afraid.
We found a secret room up there.
I can hear something in the woods. It's quite loud. When I stop moving, it stops moving.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's conversational episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends, welcome back. So happy you're here. I have a great episode for you guys today. I will say up at the top, this is not my usual format. October is a very busy time of year for my genre, and so things have just been crazy. I've been doing tons of extra stuff for Patreon, and then I'm getting something ready for you guys that will come out next week to celebrate 150 episodes. And so I needed a little bit of a break this week. So this is a very loose conversational episode that I recorded with my friend Adam from Houston Strange. And we're just talking about his show. We're sharing some paranormal encounters we've experienced. I share some that I've never talked about on this podcast before. So it's more personal. It shows more of a personal side of me as well. And at the end, we talked a lot about horror movies, TV shows, and books. So you guys have some recommendations of some things to check out this month. That's also something I've wanted to just do for a long time, and I just never have done anything for Patreon even about it. So I thought it would be fun to just do something more conversational. And Adam is doing such an incredible job with Houston Strange. I had him on the show last season, and we talked about his show, but we also did a whole episode about Zozo, the Ouija board demon. We talked about the history of Ouija boards. So you guys can also go check that out if you want more and you want more of like a researched episode. But I'm super excited for you guys to listen to this conversational episode with Adam. And yeah, he's doing amazing things with Houston Strange. So be sure to go check that out. Just a reminder for everybody else, if you haven't done so yet, please continue to tell people about Perplexity. If you're watching on YouTube, give this video a like, subscribe. It really helps. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can leave a 5-star rating. You can leave a review on Apple. I read all of those, and reviews go a long way, so that's much appreciated. I also have a lot of things going on Patreon right now. It's October, so I'm doing a lot of vlogs. I just went ghost hunting, so I'm trying to get that out really quick, as quick as I can. But I went to Fort Concho and got to spend a lot of time in San Angelo. So I've done an episode on Fort Concho and like horror in San Angelo. That is going to be on Patreon. I released my Crime Con vlog on Patreon as well. There's lots of stuff coming out, documentary coverage. I released the documentary coverage for Dear Zachary. The next one that I'm going to do was a request, A Deadly American Marriage. That's about the death of Jason Corbett. So there's always tons of stuff going on, but especially right now with it just being spooky season, I'm trying to just give you guys more. And there's always ad-free episodes over there. So go check that out if that interests you. patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I think I've blabbled on long enough. Without further ado, let's get into this special episode with Adam from Houston Strange. All right. So I'm super excited. I have my friend Adam returning to the show from Houston Strange and Weekly Creep. Adam, it's been like a year since we recorded together.
Yeah, like I actually can't believe how fast, well, this is such an old man thing to say, but like I can't believe how fast that year has been, like honestly.
Yeah.
Like the last year specifically seems to have gone by so fast. But yeah, I'm delighted to be back.
Yeah. And we were just talking about how October really blows by for people in our genre because we're trying to do so many things and it just, yeah, it breezes by. But I loved the episode we did last year about Ouija boards and Zozo. That was super fun. So you guys have to go listen to that if you haven't. We talked about the Philip experiment.
And it was so strange because I think last year we recorded, I might be wrong, but I think it was like a week or two later, I ended up getting like a call to the season finale of season one. The seasons for Houston Strange, like it's no secret, like I do it until I run out of content.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, like shortly after me and you recorded, I don't even know if the episode had come out yet, I got a message off like TikTok or something saying like, hey, I've got this story. I've never really told anyone before, but it's been bugging me and I want to get it off my chest kind of thing. And I was like straight away, I was like, this is it. It's happening. And it ended up being a Zozo encounter. And I was just like, it was one of those ones that like, even as the lady was telling me, Stephanie was her name, and like such a lovely person as well. But she was like tears in her eyes as she's telling me this. Like it was the most intense ghost story I think I've ever heard. It was such a pleasure to like edit it and stuff. But because we had just covered it, I was like, oh my God, like this is it.
you're like, I have the knowledge and it's fresh in my mind. That's crazy. Synchronicities, man. I think you messaged me on Instagram when that happened.
I definitely did because I was like super excited. I was like, oh my God, you're never going to. So yeah, and then we ended up like, I dropped, so that episode of your show is on my feed as well, because it was such a great, like supportive, like almost like document, like to Stephanie's story. Like it was just, and now since then, like I've heard another handful of accounts where like people just so casually will be like, yeah, like the board just kept doing like this pattern or whatever. And they're like, so we weren't getting anything. So we just closed out and that was it. Like, it's so bizarre.
Just a casual figure eight over and over and over again.
Yeah. Like,
wow. So for people who haven't listened to the episode I did with Adam last year, Adam, do you want to talk us through what your show is? What got you into it? How it's been going, you know, tell us about the new season. Just tell us everything.
Yeah. Well, basically I started out when I first came over here, I wasn't able to work and it was like COVID and all that kind of stuff. So that's when I started doing podcasting and stuff. But I was always like a ghost nerd in terms of like, I had watched all the shows and stuff. I had never like done much reading. And then after a few years of me and my wife doing Weekly Creep, which is still like slightly active, my wife actually is working out of town like long term right now, so it's just not practical to do it, unfortunately. So Houston Strange, I was like, let me give it a bit more of a like a serious approach to this. It was kind of just like to test, basically. I was like, I wonder if I can do this. So like I would sit down, like I write the music and a lot of the sound effects and stuff like that, like specifically in the Stephanie story, I'm pretty sure it was this that I used as the planchette noise and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I'll go out, I'll get real people's stories, just edit them with a little bit more effort put into the production than I would have done previously. Other shows that we would do, they're so much fun, don't get me wrong, but that's what they are. They're fun and informative and we can have a laugh. Whereas this is like just a little bit more, like I said, like real people's stories. And I just try and take it a bit more seriously. And whatever comes out is like 10% because I've done like 90%. Like driving around, talking with people and stuff like that with stories that may or may not come true. But that's when I'm having like the most fun, you know, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, you know, I'm a viewer of your show and I know what you're saying, but to the viewer, at least for me, it does not feel like 10% at all. It is like I am watching a full production. I'm very impressed by what you put together. It's like how
I like shows to be. I want to feel immersed. I want to like feel different emotions. I want people to tell their stories. I know some people like more of like the lighter comedy banter back and forth. I don't know. It just feels, it kind of puts you in it. It's those real life ghost stories. And I'm also a native Texan, so that makes it even more immersive for me, I think, because I'm like, oh, these are people that are a hop, skip, a jump away that are having these experiences.
To be honest, I hate talking about myself, and believe it or not, because I know I just sit in this room talking to myself like so much. But it being a Texan thing, I was like, after living in Houston for 4 years when it started and now 5, it was just like I felt really disconnected. To be honest, hadn't settled or anything. And I was like, I started looking at it like, no, this isn't a Houston problem. This is a me problem. Like, I haven't been putting myself out there. And so many people will say, specifically Houston, they're like, oh, but there's so many bars and this and that, whatever. But as a sober person, you don't really find yourself in bars and stuff like that. So it was just such a big excuse for me to just get out and just chat. And that's how I was raised in Ireland. I was just having this conversation the other day with a friend of mine at work. She's not from Ireland, but she's from another European country. And we were saying like the tea culture is not something that you really think of. But when I go back home, most of our days visiting are literally spent going like, oh, Carl and Sarah are going to be home at 4 o'clock. Let's go over there. We'll sit down, have a cup of tea, have a chat. And then you leave and you go to your granny's house and you have a cup of tea and you have a chat, you know what I mean? And I was like, so that's something that has really been missing. So now, and like even as recently as like last Tuesday, I think one of my, I guess, guests or subjects or whatever for an upcoming episode, like it was literally, we went to their house, I had a coffee, she had a tea, and we sat and we chatted. And it was like, not to get too heavy, but like the connection that comes out of it has been just like phenomenal. And even with like, because numbers wise, I wouldn't say that the show is a success or anything like that. Like numbers are very low, to be honest. But just from the 6 episodes last year, like it's opened up so much more friendships and like relationships. That was an immediate success in terms of what I was trying to do. So even like a couple of weeks ago, I shot my first burlesque show at the Neon Rouge. Thanks to one of the burlesque performers being a Houston Strange listener. So that got the ball rolling there. And I told you I was going to waffle on.
No, that's so great. No, I saw your burlesque photos. It was very cool. And I'm glad you touched on the depth of the experiences that you're having with these people, because that's what I was wondering about. And yeah, I would imagine it. There's this level of intimacy to it, because mm-hmm. these are like very personal stories that usually people have never talked about. And you want to handle that delicately. So I think having them tell it in their own words is exactly how it should be. But then I would imagine you also take a piece of those stories with you. Like, how do you handle that? Is it ever too much? Is it ever heavy? Does it make you like question things?
Question things, definitely. Literally in therapy the other day, I was talking about like the crossover in empaths or whatever, because I've also been hanging around for like, I got some other work recently. So I've been hanging around with a lot of psychically in tune people and people who do like investigations full time and stuff like that. So weirdos, basically, like the right kind of weirdos, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my people.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all so lovely and like, you know, warm, and it's lovely to be in that environment. But as a skeptic and as now like someone who documents, because that's what I've been hired to do in that regard, is literally be a like more fly on the wall. I'm not involved, like my voice isn't in it or anything, which for me is like really refreshing because it's a lot less pressure and I can just focus on one thing. I'm still very much in the real world in terms of like, I still have to go and do like conflict resolution at work and drive a forklift and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the empathic thing for me, and it's that like, feeling drained just from being near someone, but it's from wanting to be involved with it. And I was like, I don't think this is a psychic thing. I think it's just a very real world thing. But thankfully, the stories that I've gotten, even like the really like scary ones, I've always come away with it like being quite lighthearted. You know what I mean? And we can, like every person that I've been with, we can have a laugh and just enjoy the experience, to be honest. Not to keep referencing Stephanie, but that was like the first time I had come across somebody who was like actively distressed while going back through this memory. But at the end of it, like, it was so cathartic. Like, and it was lovely. Like, we hugged at the end and it was like, thank you very much. And we went our separate ways. I need to text her actually and catch up. But yeah, so that's like a big part of it for me as well. It's just like, yeah. But thankfully, I'll come away feeling drained just from trying to make sure that I haven't messed up. Like, oh, is this light going to work? Or did I forget like the remote, which I always do, like stuff like that. But no, like emotionally, it's always like really fulfilling. Yeah.
That's really cool. I feel like we have a lot of similarities. I started going to therapy myself this year. And whenever I was talking through everything, like why I wanted to go to therapy in the first place, my therapist immediately was like, you sound like an empath. And we were just talking back and forth about that. And then I'm also a skeptic in the paranormal, but I'm also so fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier before we started recording how I'm trying to dabble more into paranormal investigations. Gonna go do that this weekend and have some content. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's something so cool about taking people's stories, letting them tell it, and then also leaving it up to the audience and the individual person to process it how they want. I feel like sometimes shows can be a little bit like, this is real, or this is obviously so fake. And I just think the world is so much more gray than that, especially when it comes to the paranormal, right? So...
No, I appreciate it. And also, yeah, therapy for everybody. I'm a big, big believer in that. It's funny that you should say, though, as well, because literally one of the stories that I got, because I've been trying to incorporate more like listener stories, like I've probably flooded your feed, like because I actively dislike doing the whole social media thing. But so far, it's TikTok specifically is the thing that's been like getting me the most interaction and stuff. So it's like I have to do it. I've been trying to incorporate more like just DM stories and do like a little short, maybe it's 2 minutes, 1 minute video, whatever. And one of the stories that I got the other day, as I was reading it, I was like, this is fantastic. And like, they specifically mentioned that the house where it happened, it was in Galveston again. So I was like, I need to contact these people and see if the story is bigger than it is. And for the first time, well, actually, no, not the first time, but one of the first times, the owner of the house, because now it's a bed and breakfast or something, like a small rooming house. They straight away were like, nope, nothing weird. If you want to believe in ghosts, that's fine. I don't care as long as you stay here and pay the price. To, you know what I mean? So she was like, you can come down and investigate in your room that you have paid for. Like very blunt about it. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool. Like that was kind of refreshing. I was like, you know, whatever. And then I reached out to some of the other people that I've been dealing with in Galveston. And I was like, hey, look, this is a story that I got. What's your opinion? And they kind of said the same thing. They were like, some of the people down here, because it was about a tour, and they were like, they'll never let facts get in the way of a good story, which is something that I have a problem with. Yeah. And I was discussing this with Brandon from Southern Gothic recently. And I was like, oftentimes when I come up to that and I go in my brain, I'm like, I don't think it happened. So now I've literally spent hours researching stories before for Weekly Creep, come to that point and gone, well, now I'm not going to share it. Mm-hmm. Because I can't in good faith like share this as a real story. But the person who sent me the story had his own experience as well as what the tour was saying. So I was like, well, this kind of comes back into my belief system where I don't necessarily believe that, say, a haunted house is a haunted house. But if you had an experience there, for you, this was a haunted house. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so totally. I was like, I challenged them, and I was a little bit tongue-in-cheek in the video, and I hope like they have a sense of humor. But I was like, let's get all of these people who have experienced things at this house, get the stories together and see if we can change the minds of me and like say the owners going forward and stuff.
Right.
So that I love that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like it starts to get a bit weird when you go down that kind of rabbit hole. But
I think that's good. There's definitely been stories where I was like, wow, this sounds like a crazy story. And you spend the hours researching and you get to the end and you're like, you're like disappointed, you know? But I feel like there's been very few situations where I just haven't released it. But when that does happen, what I do is I counter argue and kind of break apart the whole like urban legend of it all. Like I just did the Amityville Horror House. And so we talked a lot about the problems with the Warrens and the problems with the Lutz family and all the things that have come out about them. And because so many people just hear that story and they're like, oh my gosh, that's like the most haunted house in America. And that's the end of the discussion. And so I think, not to get too cheesy and like up in arms about it, but I think we have a responsibility as content creators to like look at all those different sides and discuss it. And it's interesting, and not to complain at all, but sometimes it is kind of hard being so neutral about things like that. Like, there's definitely situations where I hear a story and I'm so compelled by it. I'm like, I totally believe this. But I think it's good to go, I don't know, it kind of sit in the middle. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I had, because first of all, like, whatever about the Conjuring series, I think like the first two movies as a horror thing, fantastic.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I rewatched all of them recently because I wanted to see the new Conjuring movie. And right. So, and I'm glad I did, because there's a lot of callbacks, but.
Yeah. And I've heard the new one is good, but.
It is. Yeah.
Like, whatever about these stories, like, you're going to come up against the Warrens, because they were, for all the bad that they were, they definitely pioneered this whole genre, right?
Yeah.
That's like, talk about, let's not let facts get in the way of a good story. That's what Ed Warren did. Because when you read all the other stuff, like say Hans Holzer, or I'm trying to think of other people like pre kind of the 60s, but even the likes of like Colin Wilson and stuff, like he wrote Poltergeist. They can be so dry. Like, sometimes those books, you're reading them and you're just like, just get to the point, you know?
Right.
And they're trying to like cover all their bases and stuff. And they're trying to sound as scientific as possible. When like, sometimes you just can't be like, sometimes, and this happened to me, we heard what sounded like a little girl one time laughing. Thankfully I have it on video, because I freaked out because my brain just couldn't compute like what was happening. Like, because this noise was coming closer to me, but there was nothing that I could physically see there. And like, now, after like, what, 3 years later or something, I've gone, do you know what? Maybe that wasn't like an actual, like the ghost of a little girl coming to get me or whatever. Maybe it was something a lot more simple. But at the end of the day, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Like, cut and dry. That's where my thing is. Sorry, to go back to the Conjuring, like the first story I have. One of our listeners sent us a couple of the books written by Andrea Perrin. The real story of the Conjuring House is so much more fascinating. Like, even not as a scary book, like, yes, scary things definitely took place there. But the amount of just wild stories that happened. Like, the one that stands out for me now is like, she says, and again, I don't know how true this is, but it was like a nice story. There was a storm whipping up and one of the horses freaked out and broke a fence. And the parents weren't home. So the little girls had to run out and like fix it themselves because they were afraid that they were going to lose their beloved horse. They reckon that some ghostly presence helped them physically like hold the plank in place to like fix the fence in the corral or whatever. And I was yeah, and like visually for me, I was like, this would have made a great scene, but it wasn't like evil or scary, you know what I mean? It was just, so I was like, there was a lot more to that story that I think would benefit the paranormal world, because it wasn't scary or whatever. Like, it was just really, really interesting. And I'm pretty sure, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure she is convinced that whatever was going on there was more like extraterrestrial.
Oh,
so like then you start getting like way into the weeds. Yeah,
that's a big theory, is that ghosts are actually extraterrestrial, or that they are like people in different timelines, if you're more of a believer in like the Matrix kind of thing. So I always think stuff like that's really interesting. And you bring up a good point too. I feel like people who don't like the paranormal, don't like Halloween, don't like, you know, the spooky things, it's because it is so demonized all the time. And it's always like very dark. And we miss these warm, heartfelt stories of these friendly encounters or these ambiguous encounters. I really like stuff like that. I feel like it's so much more contextualized of there's a lot more to it than just we're opening a dark, creepy closet and seeing what's in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, don't get me wrong, like one of the locations I was at recently, well, it's going to come out in a couple of weeks anyway, it was Victoria's Black Swan Inn in San Antonio. And to be honest, I hadn't done research on it because it was supposed to take place somewhere else. and something happened like literally that day and we had to change. But I was there in the house and I like it had been a long day. By the time we even like sat down to record, it was really late and I was like sweaty and gross. Like I'd been driving like the back roads of San Antonio like all day long. And so I was like, we had done the interview and then there was going to be like there was other people in the house that were going to do like kind of an investigation of their own. So I was like, okay, well, let me, like, before all that happens, I'm just going to go in here and change my shirt real quick. But when I opened the door to go into the bathroom, there was no lights in that side of the house. And instantly, I was a child. I was like, I don't want to go down here. But there was all these people out here, you know what I mean? And it was like, okay, no, that was like, that was the scary side. But I mean, nothing happened to me personally. It was just like, that's where the scariness is. You know what I mean? It's in like literally the long, dark corridors. But like the stuff that we've had happen here in this house has been a lot more like trickstery or like not malevolent or anything. Like my favorite thing that happened to me, and I've completely forgotten about this, but I wrote it down when it happened because it was such a, it just messed with my head so much. But like one day I had like let myself out to the backyard. And it was before we had chickens, so I don't know what I was actually doing, but I think I was like running the hose to the garage to come out and clean the car or something. As always, I was like late, so I was rushing whatever I was doing. I turned the hose on, ran back out, and by the time I got to the hose, the water was off. So I was like, okay, I obviously didn't turn it on enough or whatever. Ran back, turned it on again, and then this time when I went to unlock the gate, I couldn't get the lock to work. And I was like, at this point, I was just like really angry. I was like, what is going on? But when I actually calmed down enough to look, the wrong key was in the lock. But like there's three keys on the key ring and I was the one who opened the door. I was at home alone. And it was literally like seconds ago.
That's
I had
wild.
Just done this.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like it made me stop and like calm down and be like, this was really weird. I don't think, like, if it was somebody like a family member or something just like, you know, annoying me, whatever, I call it like fairy behavior.
Yeah,
because it is like in my head like that's what it sounds like. But it turned out like at that time, like I was experiencing a lot of stuff and I was at like an all-time skeptic, like kind of low, and we were planning to go back home and I was planning to do like this basically like a summoning ritual in the woods back home. It turned out like all of this stuff was basically telling me to stop. Mm. And yeah, like other stuff happened, like that was just some of the funniest. But like in my head though, like now when I look back on it, I was like, that's a really lighthearted, fun kind of paranormal, you know. And I genuinely think whatever it was, even if it was my own subconscious, I don't know, it was just saying like, stop, slow down, let's rethink whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that you don't necessarily hear about because it's not like really drastic and scary. Like it was a hot sunny day, somebody turned the keys around or changed the key in the lock for me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like a lot of people have little stories like that and they don't think of it as paranormal because again, mm-hmm. we think of it as like it has to be this intense or dark or spooky encounter. And we have had a couple of weird things in our house, but they all happened very close together, like in the span of a week, I would say. And this was quite a while ago, but I remember waking up one day and TJ, my fiance, he was upset and he was like, I don't understand what happened to my rings. Cause he likes wearing jewelry and he had these like three thick, sturdy metal rings that he always wore on his fingers. And they were all sitting on the counter in the bathroom and they had been like smushed, like super bent up.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he had like taken them off that night and they were so bent, he couldn't even put them back on his fingers. And they're just sitting on the counter and he's like, they're all bent. And I was like pulling as hard as I could, trying to like get them back into shape. And I couldn't. We had to like get tools to fix them. But he was like, this doesn't make any sense. So that was really weird. And then like, I want to say maybe a day or two later, I think it was this cup, actually. I had this sitting in like the middle of our island. I didn't see it happen, but it fell off the island and it would have had to have gone like a foot to just fall off. And no one was in the kitchen doing anything. It just went like dung and like fell on the ground. And then the last thing that happened was also right around that time and has, again, never happened again. But we have a smoke alarm in the living room right by where that island is. And the cover just like fell off and just like fell on the ground. It didn't make any sense. Like, there was nothing. We weren't even playing any music. It was quiet in the house.
Yeah.
And it just fell. And again, that feels like kind of trickstery, you know, like, why are you, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, I wonder in hindsight, like, was there anything else that was happening around that time? Like,
right.
You know, like, some other, like, frustration. Because then that's the other thing. I don't know, is this, like, some passing entity or is it you, basically? Like, I don't mean right. you personally. Well, in this case, yeah, I do.
But, yeah, no. You know? Yeah, I mean, you could get existential with it, too, and say it was one of us in a different timeline or something crazy. But
or that, yeah.
Yeah, that I just rewatched Hill House, so that's, like, fresh in my mind the bent neck lady and stuff. But, yeah, it was just so strange that the jewelry rings specifically, we still, like, that's just, I really don't know how to explain that at all. And he thought I did it. And I was like, why would I do that? And I was like showing up, I was like, TJ, I literally can't bend these. There's no way.
It's because you hate his rings. That's why.
And I was trying to think too, when it happened, of if anything was going on. And I was still doing the podcast and I was thinking about, like, did I record something this week? Did we get in a weird argument? Is there something with my mental space or his? And, like, we really couldn't attribute it to anything. So it was just very strange. And then as soon as it started is as soon as it stopped, you know? So weird, weird stuff.
that is bizarre. And I bet, like, it felt like, well, maybe not, but for us, like, when stuff like that happens here, like that, it'll kind of happen all, like, close together. And then it feels like a bubble has burst and it's just, like, flat or, like, dead air. That, right. You know, like, or at least that's how it is. And that's kind of where we are right now. I haven't had an experience at home in a long time. I picked up, like, some interesting EVPs and stuff, like, unintentionally at actually Victoria's Black Swan, stuff like that. Another investigation that I was on recently, we were standing around, it was like end of the night. Again, I was, like, tired. I was wearing cowboy boots because I like to pretend, you know, try and fit in over here. And, whatever way, I was like, I was listening to what was going on and, like, I was filming. And so, like, I was, like, clued in, but I was also like, okay, it's time to go. Like, let's go home. It's like 4 a.m. or something. And I literally felt like somebody fixed my jeans in, I think it was my right leg. Yeah. And so I didn't, like, because my jeans weren't tucked into my boots. Like, you know what I mean? But I think maybe it was, like, the top of it, like, the lip was caught or something, but it literally felt like someone just went and, like, straightened them out. And it, I was, what the? I couldn't, like, react loudly because, like, there was something going on at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was only afterwards I was like, what just happened there, you know? But again, like, nothing crazy. Like, it's never anything like, oh, you're going to bring something home. I don't necessarily believe that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it just hasn't happened to me yet.
I had an experience recently and it'll be out by the time this episode releases. Cool. But I watched the movie Incantation. Have you heard of or seen that movie?
No, I don't think so.
I have never in my life been so frightened by a movie, and I don't scare easily at all. And when I went on the Queen Mary and when I've gone to, like, haunted houses with my friends, they're always like, you are, like, way too calm right now. So when I watched this movie and I was so deeply disturbed, I was like, okay, this seems pretty scary. So it's the highest grossest Taiwan horror movie. Like, it's the biggest movie in Taiwan for horror, like, of all time.
Add this to my notes now before I forget, but go on.
It's found footage horror, and I watched it. Yeah, I love found footage. It just instantly makes it more immersive and more scary. Basically, I had heard good things about it. I was just going along on Reddit, like, what is a really good horror movie? Me and my friend Kenzie love horror movies, and it's October. So I was like, oh, let's pop this on without giving too much away, because I really want people to watch it. It's about a mother and daughter who have been cursed, and the daughter is, like, dying because the curse is so severe. She's, like, a small child, and the mother's trying to reverse the curse. And so it's going back and explaining why they were cursed in the first place. And then there's all this creepy, crazy paranormal stuff going on in the house. There's, like, possession of the little girl, which is always terrifying to see.
Yeah.
But there's this layer to it where it breaks the fourth wall. And it really, really engages the viewer in a way that I think you would appreciate. There's all these really trippy visuals of, like, I can't remember what this is called, but it's, like, where you look at a picture and you can see it, like, 3 or 4 different ways. So it'll be, like, a moving picture. Yeah. And they'll be like, look at the Ferris wheel and think about it turning to the right. Now think about it turning to the left. And you will, like, literally, as the viewer, see it rotating to the right, rotating to the left. And so right away, the mom, the main character, is teaching you, like, you can control and make your reality look different. And so there's like several visuals like that. And then there's like a whole thing with the curse. I don't want to give it away, but it's just, It's very, very good. So all of that to say, after I watched that movie, I sat on the couch for like 30 minutes, I want to say, just like in silence, like, wow, that was so scary. That was crazy. I went to bed around 3 a.m. I felt something grab the back of my leg while I was sleeping in bed, like a hard grab on the back right behind my knee. And Whoa. It woke me up. I've never felt that sensation of being grabbed. It's very unexpected, but also you could equivocate that to like a bad dream or something with like sleep paralysis kind of, but it stuck with me. So I woke up the next morning and I was like deep diving what this movie was about. And it's based on a true story loosely, but it's inspired by a family and their story is absolutely horrific. So I ended up doing an episode about the true story and talk about incantation. But since I watched that movie, me and Kinsey have been joking that I've been cursed by this movie because we've had multiple just really weird, unexplainable things happen. I woke up and there were ants all over the bedroom and all in the closet. I was like, why are these in here? There's nothing in here they would want. And then the next day I went to work and there was a giant fire at work. So it's been temporarily closed and I'm working at a different clinic. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but there have been just a lot of weird things lately like that. And then I was talking in our friends' like group chat about it, the people I'm going ghost hunting with. And I put my phone down for a second. This literally happened last night. I put the phone down. I have the chat open, but, you know, it's just sitting there. I walk away because I'm doing laundry. So I like went to the other side of the bedroom. I'm grabbing my clothes. I come back to where my phone is and I see it's recording a voice memo to like send to them or something in the chat. So I was like, what the heck? I've been recording for like 20 seconds. So I just sent it to them and I was like, this is so weird. My phone just like recorded by itself. And it's just like this weird muffled sound. And then you like hear my footsteps. So you can hear me walking back towards the phone. Like I clearly hadn't been there. It's just weird. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, no, you're haunted. That's that's actually creepy. Yeah. I do not envy you.
I loosely, like, you know, I told people, hey, it's a really good movie, but I also warned people. I was like, I am not responsible for if you are cursed after you watch this movie, because I don't know. It's been really, really that's interesting. Wild. Yeah, just weird little things happening lately where I'm like, I don't like that at all.
Do you write this stuff down, like when it happened?
I could. I have it written down. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because then you can kind of track the timeline of it. Yeah, I need to write it down. And see, again, this is hard as someone who's skeptical. I immediately want to explain like, oh, it could be. But there's things like the phone where I'm like, why did it start recording by itself? I wasn't touching it. That kind of goes into the other thing I wanted to talk about too, which was films and shows. I've wanted to do this on the show for a while, but it's October and I think it's a great time to, or like books too, read a good horror book, watch a good movie, or something like thrilling, mysterious. Do you have any suggestions or things that you've been really enjoying?
Yeah, I mean, always I'm going to suggest Hellier to whoever. I'm assuming you've watched it, right? Like all of
it's been a long it's been a long time, but yes, I have watched Hellier. That'd be a good one to rewatch.
Yeah, I find because it kind of shows you the more real side of like paranormal, kind of like what we've been talking about, like how like nothing might happen for months on end, and then all of a sudden like you get like this weird series of events that you're going through, which I'm curious to see how that goes. And then like, so I watched like Weapons recently, and
so good.
Yeah, and my wife hated it.
Really?
We came close to arguing over it because I was like, it's not my typical movie, but I'm a big fan of like so we met like in a Stephen King kind of chat group like thing, me and my wife.
I didn't know that. I love that.
Yeah. And so like I haven't read any Stephen King in a while. I haven't read anything that's not like ghost or like cryptid related too long, to be honest. But he used to do this series called Creepshow. It's like, I don't know, from the 80s or something. But it was like Creepshow was a comic book. And then they got together. I want to say like George Romero was involved and stuff. But it was like, what's the word? It was like a bunch of little stories would make up anthology, an anthology series.
Oh, yes, yes.
And like that feeling that I had watching Weapons was the exact same feeling that I used to get watching Creepshow. And I was like, this is perfect because they're not telling you it's based on a true story. They're not telling you any of this. It's just a great movie.
Yeah.
It's fun. There's like all the right things. But after that, so our boss at work, like the big, big boss, he's this Swedish dude. And he was like, have you not seen Barbarian? And I was like, no, I was familiar with like the thumbnail or whatever, but I hadn't actually watched it. So I sat down and watched that the other night and I was like, oh my God, it's even better than what.
Barbarian's good. The end, again, without spoiling for people, but I didn't like the ending, to be honest with you. Like the reveal, I was just like, this feels so over the top to me. But I feel like the first two thirds of the movie, I loved.
I can see why you wouldn't like it.
It's just so ridiculous, but yeah, it's still fun.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like the ridiculous aspect for me is like when you used to watch like 80s horror movies and stuff where it was like so over the top. So there's a part of me that loves that, but I completely understand why you like it. There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many movies that try to do it and it's just a flop, you know?
Right. That's true. It's hard to have a good ending in a horror movie, I feel like. I feel like Ritual does that really well. I love Ritual. That's one of my favorites. Have you seen The Ritual?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's really good. It's about four men, I think, who basically, I think it starts with five. One of the men, this is not a spoiler. It's like literally in the trailer. One of the men dies tragically, like at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
He was going to get married soon and they were all going to go on like a bachelor trip together. So the other four men decide to like honor him and carry on with the trip. And I think it's a British film. They go through the woods because he wanted to do like hiking and camping for his bachelor trip.
Yeah.
And they're like complaining the whole time. They're like, oh, you can't believe you wanted to do this. We should be at like a strip club or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's that genre of horror where there is something hunting them. You can feel it, you can hear it, but you can't see it. There is a final reveal of the monster at the end, but it holds up, I think, really well because it's like a genuinely terrifying monster. Whereas right, I feel right. like for me in some movies where it's just like something that looks so ridiculous and silly, you're just like, what is this? You know?
Yeah.
But The Ritual is really good. And there's a Blair Witch vibe to it also.
I love that. Like I'm one of those people, I know you said earlier that you like found footage, but like the Blair Witch Project was probably my first genuinely, I am terrified watching this movie. And so I still love watching it today. And anything that kind of mirrors that, I'm down for. Like, have you seen Hell House?
I just rewatched it.
Okay, because that's...
I love Hell House.
No, sorry, Hell House.
Oh, Hell House, sorry.
Yeah,
I did
like Hell House as well, but Hell House LLC, it's found footage. I think there's like five movies now.
Oh,
and every one holds up. Like I've never watched the series and genuinely enjoyed every movie that belongs to it.
I don't like this.
But yeah. Yes. So
I hate clowns. I freaking hate clowns.
The whole thing is these guys run like a haunted house like attraction like for Halloween. And so they're documenting their like, you know, usually they do it in like Brooklyn. So it's like there's you're guaranteed people, blah, blah, blah. But this time they go a little bit further outside New York, like to the sticks, and they buy this or rent this like old property. And the main guy is like, we have to document it. It's going to be really fun, like looking back on the tapes. And it's already like this creepy looking hotel. It's perfect. And then obviously terror ensues. But like now they've done like an origins story, they've done like what happened after it, and I'm always like every time I see a new one I'm like, oh please don't ruin the whole series. But no, like for me anyway, they're fantastic. Funnily enough, they reminded me, I cannot think of the name of this movie now, but it was we watched it recently and I think it's another Shudder film. The two girls from like one, they're like TikTok or YouTube people.
Okay.
Like in real life they are TikTokers, I think.
Yeah.
And oh God, why can't I remember? The one of them got like went viral because she would like wake up in the middle of the night and like say like just really weird stuff when she was like sleepwalking.
Huh. Okay. I'm going to Google this. We can figure this out. Yeah.
And so then the two of them got into like ghost hunting with those other children that are on YouTube. What are they called? Sam and Colby.
Yeah. They're very popular.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my little sisters watch them and stuff. They're the people that have like, we got attacked by a demon in a house at 3 a.m. And then you watch the video and it's like, you didn't even go into a house. but yeah, so in like real life, they would do like collabs with them, go ghost hunting and whatever. So then they decided like, here, let's make a found footage film where they play themselves. And I was like, I was really skeptical going in, but I genuinely loved it. I was like, this was a fantastic effort. You can see like how kind of rough and ready it is. Like there's a couple of like small mistakes that you could point out like when you're watching it.
Okay.
But nothing that like takes you away from it. They did a really good job, and it was really nice seeing people who essentially do what like you or I do, you know, and then they transform it into something that like now you're watching on the big screen. And so yeah, if for like a small, very small crew, what they put together was like really fantastic. The House on Eden, I think that's what it's called, House on Eden.
Okay, because I'm like, I can't find it.
Sorry, yeah, this is awful.
No, it's okay.
I'm over here, I was like pouring coffee earlier, probably making like the worst noise. But yeah, I think it's House on Eden.
Okay, House on Eden. Did it come out this year?
Yeah, 2025.
Yeah, this says 2025, Eden. And it's two girls. Found footage horror film starring paranormal investigators Chris Collins and Selena Myers become trapped in an abandoned house with a malevolent ancient presence.
So like a movie that could have been absolutely terrible ended up being like super enjoyable for me, at least. If anybody else has watched it and didn't like it, you know, come at me in the comments.
But, this girl looks familiar. I feel like I've seen her before.
Yeah, because I remember like Dulce, my wife, she would show up like I think she did those videos where she like had the small hands and stuff, like she plays like a Russian family or something. And yeah, like, they are like, they're both very funny. They're funny in the movie, but also like they did a really good job. That's one. I also watched Good Boy recently.
You did?
Yeah.
I have so many questions. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't want to be like that person.
Go ahead.
I loved the first half of the movie. I grew up with a golden retriever. Now we have like cats and stuff. We don't have a dog. I would love a dog. And the movie was like, just made me want the dog more. But I didn't love it. Like the movie itself. Like I said, the first half, you could see like it was really well shot. Like it was just like you were saying, like really immersive and like just gorgeous, like foggy cemeteries and stuff like that. I think the story kind of got out of hand. And if it had just been like,
got it,
maybe a little tighter.
Yeah.
It says me, who knows nothing about.
I do remember watching the trailer and thinking like, first of all, what a unique idea. So for people who don't know, this is a horror movie from the perspective of a dog. So I was like, wow, I've never heard of anything like that. That's so cool. But I also was like, how are they going to do this? I don't know. I just was like, I don't see where this plot is going to go, but it did seem like it was well shot and everything. And the idea of a dog being like haunted or terrorized, there's this extra level of like, oh my god, I hate that, you know, where you're like really scared and worried for the dog. And so I don't know, I was like, I feel like that's too unique not to watch.
No, and I would definitely encourage anybody to go and watch it, like seriously, because it's another like small independent production. So you're like, as you're watching it, you're like, this is great for them, like, you know what I mean? I'm really impressed with what they did. It just wasn't for me, maybe.
That's fair.
And like I said, I hate to be that person, but I had listened to an interview. The guy was on last podcast on the left, the director or whatever. And so like, he's actually the actor and the dog is his dog. You know what I mean? And so it was him and his wife and the dog, and they did it all themselves. I think like as far back as 2020, they started doing it. And then like that, I think for me, if the story had just been maybe a little bit more straightforward and less, you know, it would have been executed a bit better. But yeah, like, so I would still say go see it. It's fun, at least, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there, like, there is some jump scares in there that got me.
Okay.
You know? So, which, like, you know, that's great always.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, like, I'm trying to think of, like, other Halloween-specific movies that I would recommend.
Yeah, because, or it could be a show, or it could be a book that you really like.
Okay, so I did, this is kind of a deep dive book. Hold on, let me move my haunted bell here for a second.
Oh,
actually, that will this will bring me to an Irish movie, Oddity.
Oh,
have you seen Oddity?
I have heard good things, but no, I have not.
Okay, Oddity. I knew I was forgetting something, but Oddity is like one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Okay.
It just happens to be set in Ireland as well, so I'm probably a little bit biased, but the acting was fantastic. The monster was great. You know what I mean? The story behind it was brilliant. And I went out and bought this bell off Amazon immediately afterwards.
Oh, very cool.
It's like $7 and my nieces are terrified of it. I bought the bell specifically because it was like, this is a really cool little object to bring to haunted places. And the idea is one day it might ring itself, even though it's just from Amazon. But yeah, right. So, but anyway, in terms of like very real, very scary stories, I would recommend this. I don't know. The book might be a little hard to get. It's The People in the Attic, A True Story, The Haunting of Doretta Johnson. This is one of the ones that stood out with me. We covered it on Weekly Creep ages ago, and I think one of our listeners might have sent us this book. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon, probably on Kindle and stuff. Some of the, well, they're not scenes, they're what this lady went through. They bought an old motel, typical story. It's like, the price is too good, how could we not, you know? And they were like, we'll fix it up while we're living in it, which is my dream. Like, my background is actually construction. Like, I trained as an electrician back home. I would love to do this myself one day. But of course, weird stuff starts to happen. And from what it, like, some of the stuff that happens in this were like genuinely like bone chilling descriptions. Some of it was just like she would walk into a place and get like these weird like psychic visions, which obviously you take that with a grain of salt. But she was able to eventually like prove what she was seeing, which was amazing.
Wow.
But then there was also other stuff like children's toys going off in the middle of the night, to the point where like she would throw them away and like they would keep making the noise and stuff like that. Yeah, so it like really ticked all the boxes in that. So if you're looking for a good, very true story to get into for Halloween specifically, there's that. And then another book that I can highly recommend is The Boy They Tried to Hide, which is another Irish one. When I like talk about being skeptic, when I was reading this book for the very first time, I was like, this is too good to be true. And I don't believe that this happened. So I messaged the author and I was like, as another Irishman, like, I feel like he could, he accepted the bluntness of my message. I don't think I was rude, but I just said to him, I was like, look, I can't believe this because there's so much going on. He was like, no, that's perfectly fine. Like, it was a very weird time in my life. A lot was going on. If you'd like, I'll come on and we can have a chat about it. So I was like,
nice.
Yeah, all right, cool. And to this day, like, we're still friends, like, we still chat on Instagram and stuff. I've yet to go for a coffee with him, but the next time I'm home, hopefully. His name is Shane Dunphy. And this man is, he's a prolific author now, but he was a social worker when this story started to unfold. Essentially, the main story, the ghost story in the book, because there's kind of three different things that were all happening in the one timeline. That's why it was such a chaotic thing for me. But he was like, yeah, no, like, he's the one who lived it.
Wow.
Essentially, he was taking time away from social work and working like part-time this small rural school somewhere in Ireland. He's not allowed to disclose it. He was helping this one kid who was having a hard time like learning or whatever it was. But the mom came to him after school one day and was like, look, I'm actually having problems with the younger boy and I'm starting to get very concerned. He's talking about these people in the woods, or this person in the woods behind the house, and he keeps going missing. So like, she would go up to the bedroom at night and the boy's not there anymore. And then eventually, like, at one point, the police and everything were called and they found him something like 3 miles away from the house, up a tree, shivering in the very early hours of the morning. And when they found him, he was like, I'm going to get the names wrong now. I think Thomas was the name of the boy, like the actual boy. But then the spirit boy or whatever this thing was that was luring him out, he was like, oh, well, he was here with me all night. Like, he's just gone when he heard you guys coming. And so there was a very real threat. Like, they thought that this boy was being groomed, essentially, and they didn't know who was doing it. And it turned out, no, this thing was very much in the supernatural realm. The approach that ended up having to be taken was completely different to anything else. There was a family, sorry, I'm really going
off the rails. You're good, you're good.
There was a family living nearby in the woods. They were traveling people. So we in Ireland, we still have not as many, but there's a small culture of people who will live out of mobile homes and they'll go from kind of place to place and they'll stay there for as long as they can and they'll try and work in the area, and then when it's time for them to move on, they'll move on. But they were staying like within fairly close proximity to this child's house. And so when Shane, the author of the book, went to them, because they were worried that it was these people were sending children out at night to try and lure other people in. One of the children there just said something along the lines of, like, we don't look out the windows at night because the boy is there and he's trying to get us to come out. He's trying to get us to play with him.
Oh, my God. And
yeah.
No.
So anyway, read that book, The Boy They Tried to Hide.
Wow.
Fantastic. And Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories covered it as well. So it's a great book. It's a great example of a modern ghost story, I think, that has roots in, like, the fae. Yeah, because that's now, like, I genuinely believe that's what whatever this ghost child was, I think it was more like of a fae or like an elemental, something ancient, you know what I mean, in the woods.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's what I wanted to try and conjure when I went home, when I was being very skeptical.
Well, that's a great place to do it in Ireland.
Yeah. And the plan was, because I didn't know exactly where the woods was, we were just going to go to random woods and try and call out. It didn't come true because I started having like dreams at night that would come true the following week and stuff like that. Like,
oh, whoa.
That's when the weird thing with the key and stuff happened. And whenever we decided to not do it, that's when everything stopped.
You told this story, I think, last year on the Zozo episode. Not in this way, though, but you went in more detail about the dream and you said you started getting deja vu when you guys were like in the woods trying to do an investigation, I believe, where it was like, I'm trying to remember because it's been so long, but I remember you were in the woods and like you were like, and then this is going to happen and this is going to happen, or you were taking like pictures or something.
Yeah. So, this is a story that I do tell a lot because it's like the weirder side of paranormal where it's not necessarily in your face, but like kind of have to connect the dots. But yeah, one of the dreams I had ended up just being like, I was in this field that I'd never been in before, and there was like, as I walked, there was insects and spiders, like,
yes, I remember that,
literally like water or whatever. And then like the following week or maybe 2 weeks later, a friend of mine who's an actual fantastic creator, he was doing a creative photo shoot on a ranch, and he called me to come out and literally like just help out, hold the sheets and stuff like that. And we had like the best day ever. So much fun. There was like five of us. But this thing with the insects as I was walking, like, was very real. And I remember like spiders, what are they called? I think like wolf spiders, right? The female wolf spiders are like huge. And as I would step, these things would like come flying. And
absolutely not.
I know. And for me, like, I'm not into that kind of stuff.
But who's into that?
There's people out there.
I'm worried about you. Who's into that?
But the model that my friend was shooting was wearing this like long flowy white dress, and that was kind of like how the thing was going to work. And so I literally spent the day like batting spiders off of this girl as somebody who is afraid of spiders. God. But I had to stay calm and be like, oh no, it's nothing, it's just a leaf, like, or whatever. And anyway,
wild.
It was only after the fact that I realized, like, wait, this was the place from the dream. Like, it was so, just such a bizarre time. Yeah. But like that, and that's when kind of my wife helped me realize, like, oh, well, maybe what you're planning to do is a bad idea. It literally felt like a bubble burst.
But so that was a separate incident from the other one, the dream that started coming true.
No, it like that was one of the dreams that came true, like in this weird little kind of 6 or 8 months.
Okay, so they all happened around the same time. Gotcha.
Yeah, everything kind of happened like at the same. It's so bizarre. And then what happened, once my wife was like, I think, because this was like just one of like a lot of like weird synchronicities, strange things happening. And I was literally sat here one night. My wife was sat over there in the cozy little chair. And she was like, I think maybe we're not supposed to, because we were going to fly home like in a week or two. She was like, I think maybe we're not supposed to like summon this child ghost thing. When she said that, like, it felt like the blood like left my body. And it was like, this sounds really dramatic, and it wasn't, because we were literally just sitting here like regular night, like the cat was just chilling. But I was like kind of frantic. I had never felt like this before. So anyway, she was like, I think like you need to ground yourself. So I was like, yeah, let me go have a shower, calm down. And I think I was like, I'm 34 now, so I was probably 32 at the time. And I was in the shower checking around the shower curtain because I was so convinced that there was this little boy.
Yeah, you were disturbed.
Yeah. And anyway, that happened. And like then later on, we were I was still like really anxious. Like, and this is not something that we normally do either, but my wife was like, let's lie in bed and meditate and calm down. So obviously she knew I was probably more freaked out than I thought I was. But even in every like meditation that we were trying, every time I tried to visualize like, you know, oh, relaxing waterfall or whatever, I would see the silhouette of this child in everything. And I was like, okay, this is like literally at this point, I'm like, and I still think this was just me freaking myself out. But then a few months later, maybe even a year later, we went to the Stanley Hotel. We were doing one of the ghost tours, kind of cheesy. It wasn't really like, it was lovely, like, you know, getting to see the thing, nothing intense. And then they bring us down into the underneath the Stanley Hotel, and it's literally built off the bedrock of the mountain. So when you walk down, it's completely different atmosphere. There's boulders, there's, you know, the wood from like, and you're just looking at the planks of the reception, like directly above your head. And as I walk down, in my head, I see this little girl peeking above one of the boulders and like just doing this. So I'm like, again, I'm freaking myself out. Nothing paranormal has happened in the longest time. So I'm like, I'm just going to go and stand by this boulder because like, I'm just freaking myself out. We do whatever that part of the tour was. And at the end, the kid who's leading the tour starts showing us pictures, and he shows a picture of the little girl that I had like whatever seen in my head. And I'm aware of how like bizarre that sounds. I know, I swear, like, because I did, like, if somebody else was telling me this, I'd be like, yeah. But yeah. And so he showed me basically what I had seen was this exact photo, but the girl that I had seen, her hair was like a little bit wilder, but even like the eye shine in the photo I had seen, you know what I mean? And so then I was like, okay, that was freaky, but it made me think back onto the meditations and the times I was in the shower, like, and I kept seeing this vague shadowy little boy on the other side of the curtain. So anyway, that's why I recommend The Boy They Tried to Hide. Because it almost ruined my life.
Yeah, that's why I recommend Incantation, everybody. Still actively cursing me. That's wild. I think that was another story that I remember you telling with the little girl, but it's reminding me, you said earlier, you were like, I don't think it's psychic. I think it's like being an empath, blah, blah, blah. There's so many different ways you can think about it. But I mean, having dreams and then them happening, seeing these figures with like accurate detail. I mean, a lot of that would describe that as having psychic ability. And a lot of people argue it's a spectrum, that everybody's a little psychic. And when you meditate, that it can enhance those things. Pretty spooky.
Yeah, but just to be clear, I have also been to like many a haunted location and have felt nothing. Mm-hmm. I always say that I am a psychic dud. So whatever these like weird little incidences were like fleeting, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So even if they were like actual paranormal encounters, like, I don't think it was like a special thing or anything like that. I just think it was like right place, right time. And it's like shows like the longevity of like weird paranormal things. Like, you might have to wait a long time, but eventually sometimes the answer will like come.
Yeah. Know? No, I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's a feeling of like, okay, I got lucky this time having that experience. Yeah. Book-wise, I would like to recommend to people Hidden Pictures. I don't read a ton of books, but I really enjoyed Hidden Pictures. It's been a little while since I read it, but it's about this woman who is babysitting for a family. It starts off very similar, in my opinion, to the Housemaid series, if people have read that before, but then it takes this huge paranormal spin. The girl is kind of staying in like their, I think their guest house, actually, and the one who's babysitting, and she keeps waking up and she's finding these pictures that are being left on her porch. And she thinks that the kid that she's watching is drawing them and leaving them on the porch, and they get progressively more and more creepy. And the pictures are in the book, and I read it on the Kindle, and the pictures are still in the book. So you can see all the creepy pictures. And it was another one of those things where I was just very impressed, because I was genuinely terrified throughout the whole book, and it has this huge peak, and then it doesn't come crashing down afterwards like a lot of horror things do. I feel like it ends really well. But yeah, it's called Hidden Pictures, and it's a pretty quick read. I want to say it was like maybe 200 to 300 pages. It's not very long. Really, really enjoyed it.
That's cool. And like, I appreciate the quick reads as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can be like reading like It or something where it's like whatever it is, like 1200 pages, can be a real slog. But like my wife reads constantly, night and day. She is reading like several books at the same time, and then she'll have like these little palate cleansers, and sure, it'll be like that, or something completely different, nice, concise. And like if it's scary, I feel like you want it to be a little bit more compact, right? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it didn't feel like it dragged on at all. And I feel like there's definitely books that do that. This felt like a good show when you sit down and you just want to binge it. That's how this felt.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Oh, which is reminding me, Wayward on Netflix. That's a new show that just came out. It's not horror, but it's definitely thriller, and I think it's something really fun for people to watch in October. It's about, you know, those like teen camps where they go to like be improved upon, but it's a lot of abuse. Yeah. So it's like a cult, basically. These teenagers are getting, and this really does happen. There's teenagers who get kidnapped and taken to these places in the middle of the night, and their parents, you know, consent to it, and they think it's one thing and it's something completely different. And so it has that vibe to it. And then there's a detective who like just moved to the town where this is happening, and he is like a genuine, like, I'm a good guy, I want to help. And like all these kids are going missing. And there's a kid who has just escaped from this camp, and he's so terrified, and he's like, what is going on with this camp? And all the other police are like basically giving him the vibe of, we let them do their thing, we don't talk about it. And he's like, this is corrupt, what's going on? And then the leader of the camp, the basically cult leader, I can't remember her name. I'm going to look this up really quick. But it's such a good show. It's very well cast. Well, and it's only one season so far.
Oh, that even better. But it sounds a lot like the, like that sounds like a very real story. You know what I mean?
No, things like this have happened before. I covered Hell Camp on Patreon, which is a documentary about camps like this. And so Mae Martin is the detective. And let's see, Toni Collette.
Oh yeah,
plays the leader of the cult.
I love Toni Collette.
Yeah, does a great job. It has this like psychological element to it too, where you can see how she gets into the teenagers' heads. And there's these adults who have graduated from the program, and you see how it still affects them to this day and how she has a hold on them. And it's very good. So yeah, that's called Wayward, and you guys can watch that on Netflix. So lots of good things coming out. Here's my quick, maybe controversial spiel. the other thing, something I am not going to recommend, and I'm saying this when I haven't even watched it, but I'm familiar with the other things they've put out. Monster Ed Gein, they, you know, released Dahmer, and they released the Menendez brothers. In my opinion, I really don't like that whole thing. I don't know if you've watched any of these, Adam, but
no, I haven't.
So Dahmer was about Jeffrey Dahmer, and you know, they're recreating these serial killer stories. So they did that, and then they did the Menendez brothers, who were not serial killers, but they murdered their parents. Yeah. And then now they're doing Ed Gein. The Ed Gein one specifically, I'm like, you're releasing it in October, you're making it all spooky-ooky, and these are like horrific things that have happened to people. And I remember when Dahmer came out, a lot of Dahmer's victims' families were very angry because they did not know that this was going to be released. None of them were consulted about it. And they just keep, whoever this director is, they just keep releasing these things. And it's really frustrating to me because it's that side of true crime that is like trauma porn, basically. And it's upsetting. Yeah. But I know a lot of people are watching it. So, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I only knew that it was coming out because like a little while ago at work, where I'm not very popular, but especially like with the, for whatever reason, like some of the guys at work, I'm very much like, keep your head down, get it done. And they're not. So anyway, they all like surrounded me recently and were like, just held up a picture of Ed Gein or like, do you know about this guy? And I was like, yeah. And I like, of course I do. Like everybody does at this point, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. True crime nerds, at least. Mm-hmm. But I was telling them, like, from my understanding, you know, I think he was maybe somebody who, with the right mental health help, would not have ended up like that. You know, like he was a little bit simple. Yes, he did horrific things. That's my loose understanding. Like, don't hold me to that.
No, but, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, like, my kind of intro into true crime would have been some of the earlier podcasts, like, I mean, And That's Why We Drink Now has been going on for so long. Mm-hmm. And then Last Podcast on the Left, which I still listen to. And I know for some people, they're like, they're not into it. I was just talking to one of my listeners the other day. It's too much, too like bro-y.
Yeah.
Which I totally get because I'm not like that type of person. Mm-hmm. But what they try and do with some of their oftentimes off-colored remarks is to not idolize these people. You know what I mean? Not like glorify what they're doing. They're saying like, no, like these people are usually very underwhelming people, which is how they end up doing whatever it is that they're doing. And so when you see shows like this, again, I haven't seen it either, but it makes these people look cool. You know, it glorifies what they're doing and it kind of makes it seem like they're like spies, like, you know what I mean? Doing some like covert missions and like, look at how they got away with this and that. Like they're so intelligent and they beat the police or whatever. That's not how it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just how the narrative changes. Like,
yeah, the actor who played Jeffrey Dahmer, I always really liked because I'm a big fan of American Horror Story and he's been in a lot of their seasons. And that was the first thing that was like this big Netflix special that was released and everyone was talking about it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this. But after I watched Dahmer, I didn't watch any of the other ones. And I know a lot of people who have the opinion of the Menendez brothers, for example, that they were sexually abused by their father and that it was like a very rageful, horrific thing that they did. But also like there's this level of understanding of like what happens to them and what led to it versus being like this monstrous serial killer. And a lot of the people that have those opinions about the Menendez brothers, which is also my opinion, when they were hearing about the Menendez brothers series that I'm talking about, when that came out, it was like they were, again, just painting them to be monsters. And then with the Dahmer series that I had watched, they're putting this actor in this space who has a history of being in horror movies and being very likable and being like attractive. And they're making it like the show felt so much about him. And yes, there are episodes where they do more about the victim, but I think it's just wild to me. You can have somebody who like committed these horrific crimes and then they're like, let's make a TV series about what he did. Like that's wild to me. I understand watching documentaries because there's a level of education about it. But when it's becoming this whole production of like, let's reenact these things, I don't understand that. That's my spiel. The Ed Gein monster, that's the same people who did Dahmer and the Menendez brothers. And I'm not about that. I'm not a fan.
No, I totally agree because like it's one of the reasons why we kind of backed off doing some true crime on Weekly Creep, because for a lot of it, I was like, I can't do this justice. You know, like, and I have books here that I've read. In particular, like there's one, actually, I'm not going to mention it, but there's one that I read and it was such a sad case. Like for the person who actually like was the murderer, by the end of it, I was just like, if only he had gotten the help that he needed. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's nothing sexy about serial killers.
No.
And unfortunately, that's how they're Like, and don't get me wrong, like I definitely have like t-shirts inside from like, you know, like with tarot cards. I think Ed Gein is the tarot card. I got that a few years ago. But like the people who still continue on that trend are like, are we not learning something?
Right. Yeah. You know? So exactly.
I would be on board definitely with, I would share your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's like, there's so many amazing, good, like shows, films, books, things that people can be enjoying this season. But I would also say like, be ethical about the content you're consuming and recognize that a lot of these things are being like dressed up, spookified, and they are re-victimizing people. Like a lot of these true crime ones are. I was trying to think if there was anything else that I've like watched or read that I'm like, oh yeah. The Haunting of Hill House is one of my all time favorites. Mm-hmm. I just rewatched it and I forgot how amazingly beautiful the ending is too, but it's like anthology because each episode is about one of the children and it goes between past and present and the acting is incredible. I think it's so impressive how it's shot. If you guys don't know or follow Mike Flanagan, you should. He's like my favorite.
I didn't realize that was Mike Flanagan.
Yes. Yeah. And okay, he's married. Cool. He's married to Kate Siegel. And that's why Kate Siegel is in so many of his films and shows. Like she's Theodora in Hill House. It's just incredible. And it's literally like one episode will seamlessly go between the past timeline of when they lived in this haunted house and they were kids to the present when they're adults. And it has these little moments where it's like the child is walking and opens a door. And then when the door opens, it cuts to them being an adult and opening a door. Like it goes back and forth and just it flows so well. And I love how they bring all the stories together. And Flanagan's also one of those people who casts a lot of the same people in his shows. So you kind of like American Horror Story where you like this person and then they pop up in another season. And he did Midnight Mass, which is also terrifying and really good.
I'm pretty sure he did The Stand as well. Stephen King's The Stand. I want to say that. Oh. I might be wrong, but I think so.
I haven't seen that. He did Hush, which is a horror movie I really enjoyed. And he does a really good job. The Bly Manor on Netflix, he also did like right after Hill House. And that one's a lot more romantic, but it's still horror. Yeah.
I remember watching Hill House when it first came out. Certainly like about 6 years ago, so when it was fairly new, and then I didn't like the other one, but I think I had come fresh off of one and went straight into the other, and I was like, oh, this isn't for me. So I'm sure if I watched it now, I would probably enjoy it a lot more, like, you know what I mean.
Hill House is amazing. I'll die on that hill. I think it's so good. And my friend Kenzie hadn't seen it, and so she wanted to watch it, and she was like, she would come home from work and be like, are we watching another episode? I've been thinking about this all day. And we got through that. It's 10 episodes and each one is like 40 minutes to an hour. And we got through it in a few days. It's just so good. And it's about how this haunting affected each family member so differently. And you see how it's changed them. Like one of them is divorced or going through a divorce. One of them is an alcoholic. One of them deals with substance abuse. One of them is like extremely angry and perfectionistic and can't like bond with people. And you see the entities that are still haunting them as adults and how it's also like a version of themselves. So it's like psychological, but then there's also this like the house is like lost in time. There's this like matrix element to it. It's really, really well done. I absolutely love that. Now I'm waffling on, so
no, you're fine, honestly.
Trying to think what else. I feel like the last thing I always recommend to people, and if you want something that's more like family friendly and fun, I love Coraline. That's one of my favorite movies and I love rewatching it.
Yeah, my niece is a big fan of Coraline. I've got two nieces here in the States who are, I mean, they're adults now, you know what I mean? But I have my little sister back home has, I think she's 3. I'm really bad. Like, to me, I can never tell like a child's age. You could be 4 or you could be 16. I don't know. But now she's like way more advanced than the other kids that size from what I can tell. But she's big into Coraline, she's big into Nightmare Before Christmas. I only watched those movies as an adult. They weren't in our house when I was growing up. You know, we had like The Lion King and other things that were fantastic, but not like spooky or anything. And so now getting to see her like really enjoy that kind of stuff I'm getting a kick out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's also
She's big into Star Wars as well.
Oh, nice.
So, like, she'll say some like mad random stuff. So like she's getting dressing up as Darth Vader this year. But yeah, she's big into Coraline. And I mean, there's something relaxing about them. I feel like those mm-hmm. kinds of movies, right?
Yeah, it's claymation and it's just so impressive how they do that, first of mm-hmm. all. And then with Coraline, I feel like the storyline's so interesting. I did like a whole episode about it last year with my sister because we both love Coraline. And so we talked about the Bell Dam because that's like a real an entity in like European folklore. And so we talked a lot about that and then like how it ties throughout the movie. And I really enjoy the music and the storyline's really, it's spooky, but it's also something that you could watch with, I would say, you're like 8-year-olds and up, you know, it still has some scary stuff. And then the neighbors who are like psychics, the two older sisters, the old ladies, they're so funny. And they're like of the theater and they like just do silly, silly stuff.
I feel like if I was from a different era, that might have been me. You know?
No, every time me and my sister watch it and the two old ladies pop up, we always joke that that's us. Like in the future, we're going to be those two old ladies and we're both going to be theatrical and one's going to be like the blind as a bat, which she says is going to be me. And then the other one is the short plump one with pink hair. And she's like a fortune teller. And my sister's always right. like, that's going to be me.
At least you guys have your goals. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. You got to have goals.
Yeah. It's like, I keep saying like, now I feel like I just look like, what's his name from Lord of the Rings? Gimli, the dwarf. Because I know you can only see me from here up. I'm quite short as well. But I'm pushing for the grays to come through a little bit more.
I like it. And yeah, you've got a streak going on.
It depends on like how the light hits it, I think. But yeah. I'm aiming for like more of a Gandalf kind of look.
Nice.
And then every time I go back home, I'll just be this weird person who shows up every couple of years with like mad ghost stories. You know what I mean? So that's that's my goal.
Yeah. Every time you leave, they're like, where'd that guy go? You come, come back like 2 years later.
Just here.
Yeah. Well, Adam, I would love if you tell everybody where they can find you. Like I said, I know we've talked about Houston Strange before, but I have like a lot of new listeners this season. So Plug all of the things.
Sorry if I repeated myself. I only have like two good stories in it.
No, no, it's okay. It's okay.
But yeah, Houston Strange, you can find me honestly anywhere. I'm just looking right now because I'm pretty sure all of the handles are the same. And it's just Houston Strange. You can go to HoustonStrange.com. It's just my link tree. TikTok is like blowing up. Or at least it was like last week. It's so hit or miss though. But it's all the same content on every platform. So it's whatever one you choose to view on. Personally, I prefer YouTube because it's just the one that I use the most. So yeah, Houston Strange, anywhere, Spotify, iTunes. But wherever you do find it, just please follow, like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Because I never noticed before how immediately effective that is until just these last few weeks. And I'm like, oh, wait, like specifically like with my burlesque friends now, I've noticed like the chain of other performers that have started following. And I'm like, oh, okay, uh-huh. It actually works.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny to be able to see like the direct correlation. So, yeah, find me anywhere. Houston Strange. And then Weekly Creep has like a back catalog now of like 100 episodes or something. So that might be fun. Don't listen from the start. We were very rusty. But you can definitely like learn our little journey as we go along, I guess. Yeah,
they tell really cool mysterious stories and I feel like a lot of our stuff is in the same vein, so I think anyone who listens to this show will love what you do on Weekly Creep and Houston Strange. If people are in the Texas area and are listening and have stories, Adam, what should they do?
Oh, just DM me wherever. I've had to remove TikTok and Instagram from my phone to stop me from checking it when I'm at work. So I'll definitely get back to you, usually like later in the evening. Email me. I think it's HoustonStrangePodcast@gmail.com. Nothing fancy. But yeah, and like I travel for these stories. So like,
okay.
Yeah, I'll go anywhere basically. San Antonio, I was there a couple of times. I forgot to even say it. Like, but yeah, there's like Bigfoot stuff going on up there. haunted houses. I'll be in Austin like next week, and actually at Halloween for the Spirit Social. If I'll be seeing you there. I don't know.
Yeah,
if you
will be I forgot about that. It's next week.
Halloween. So Halloween night is the Spirit Social. That's the night owl thing. You should go. It's a good like little networking thing.
Halloween night. I can't. I'm having a Halloween party.
No. So like that, but that's a good example of the day. Like I'll be traveling that day to Dallas and then driving from Dallas to Austin.
Yeah. You know, we need to just like finally link up in person at some point.
Yes.
Because yeah, I have family in Dallas, Fort Worth. I go there and I live in Austin, not far from you. So
no, we definitely will. Yeah. So like that, if you have a story or somewhere like that you would like to promote or do whatever, just reach out to me. We'll figure it out. But thanks so much for having me on again. Like this is so much fun. This
Lovely. It's always lovely talking to you. And yeah, everybody give Adam a follow. Check out Houston Strange. You won't be disappointed. And like he said, Weekly Creep has a big back catalog, lots of cool stories. You'll hear a familiar voice on Houston Strange as well, like he was saying, because we put our episode from last year on there. And
yeah.
You guys will love it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's special conversational episode with Adam from Houston Strange. It's always so much fun talking to Adam. He has become a friend of this podcast, and I would just love so much if you guys check him out. He is so deserving. He puts so much work into Houston Strange, and his links will be down in the show notes. If you guys have not done so yet, please leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really, really helps. If you're watching on YouTube, you can like this video and subscribe. Drop a comment down below. I would love to hear from you guys. What are your recommendations for horror movies, books, films? I always love to add things to my list. And that about wraps up everything for today. But be sure to tune in next week, because next week is my 150th episode, and I have something really special planned for you guys. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.